What you said was that this is my world. And in my world, you gotta get dirty. So that's what I'm doing. I'm getting dirty.
Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
And I'm John DeSando.
And this is Cinema Classics.
Hooray!
Yeah!
Now, I'm very impressed with Django Unchained.
It's awesome.
With Quentin Tarantino.
It's a great movie.
So you're a guy who probably knows something about spaghetti westerns.
Well, I got a confession to make. Oh. I know we're talking about spaghetti westerns today, and I'm a huge fan of spaghetti westerns. I'm a huge fan, John, in particular, of the Sergio Leone spaghetti westerns. Now, who isn't? Okay? Yeah. When you talk spaghetti westerns, you cannot have this conversation without talking about Sergio. 3-2. You cannot have this conversation without talking about Sergio Leone. He invented the genre. He's given credit for having invented it anyway.
He has a few before that.
And he's the one that really, we wouldn't even be talking about it without him and without his contributions. Basically, a spaghetti western, or the Italians' version of the Hollywood western.
And they're using Spain, they're using Germany, they're using Yugoslavia, they're using everybody, locations all over the place. So it's quite a European effort.
Right.
Based really, though, in Italy, correct.
So it has this heightened quality to the, you know, to the narrative. There's something extra going on, something outside of what we normally think of as being a western. Now, the other thing that makes a spaghetti western accessible are the American stars. Clint Eastwood became a star making these movies. I don't want to talk at length about the Clint Eastwood movies because we know about those movies. But let's, you know, I don't think a lot of people know that thousands of these movies were turned out based on the successes of Leone's Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah. And some of them were Django stories and films, and that's where Quentin Tarantino picks up on that. I don't think his story is anything like any Django.
No. Well, here's my confession, is that as a spaghetti western fan, I have not ventured as deeply into this subgenre as I would like to say I have. So I can't speak expertly outside of the Leone pictures. Now, there are the Franco Nero
and
Django
pictures. He's the
pictures.
First Django. He's in the first Django.
He is
the first Django.
Yeah, and he repeated that role many times.
And he appears in Tarantino's on Django Unchained.
Yeah, he's in the Mandingo fighting scene. If you want to explore the subgenre, you do well to stick with the Leone movies and the Sergio Corbucci movies. So there are two Sergios you want to really focus on.
Good.
You can really kind of find some better ones too if you stick to the stars. If you stick to Lee Van Cleef, who's a star of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, he appeared in some of the Corbucci movies.
Yeah. And some aging stars. I think it seems to me I remember maybe something like John Ford. 3-2-1. Some aging stars of the ilk of Glenn Ford, for instance, people who were at the edge of their careers appeared across the way.
Well, Henry Fonda.
Good.
Had a great, late career boost by appearing in some of these movies. Obviously, most notably, Once Upon a Time in the West, which some would say is Leone's masterpiece.
Yeah.
I'm right there with him. It's neck and neck between Once Upon a Time in the West and The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
What I was going to say, and that's 1966. Let's put this context. We're talking really between the 60s, 1960 and 1980 is when these are flourishing.
Well, you would go as late as 80. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably dying by the mid-70s. But
in August of 78, China 9, Liberty 37, Monty Hellman with Warren Oates.
Wow.
I know, right?
That's great.
So that's the latest that I could find in that.
Well, Henry Fonda not only had success in that Leone movie, but also in the My Name is Nobody movies with Terrence Hill.
Oh, which were excellent.
Kind of co-directed by Sergio Leone, and it's a much more humorous take on the spaghetti western. At that point, by the early 70s even, the spaghetti western had taken on a kind of self-aware, tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I had thought, even almost from the beginning, there was some demythologizing, 3-2-1. I had always thought there was some demythologizing going on about the whole Western, that many of these spaghetti Westerns were, in fact, kind of tongue in cheek.
Yep.
And you're saying they're much more serious in the beginning, and then as the most subgenres at least evolve.
Well, this is where I think they almost give birth to people like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
There's a love of cinema happening. There's a love of cinema at work in the spaghetti westerns that is at once simultaneously reverential and yet in a postmodern way kind of poking fun at certain elements, but also just exaggerating. So that's why you get that exaggerated operatic quality.
Yeah, I can also see that coming from Italian neorealism and then picking up on the Western, that you're going to have a culturally completely different take on our Western, as Italians are as interested in realism as not. So there's going to be some kind of tongue-in-cheek about this.
Well, you know, all the close-ups, the intense, prolonged close-ups, the exaggerated bursts of violence. You can see those. I mean, that's Tarantino in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He's quoting Hollywood cinema at the same time he is subverting it, at the same time he's playing around with it and exaggerating it. Django Unchained is the movie he was probably born to have made.
You got it. And you know, another element that we haven't mentioned, but I've always found neat, was the Ennio Morricone.
Oh, yeah.
Music.
Again.
Which was brilliant.
Synonymous with spaghetti
Westerns. Yeah, and it had a kind of a Janus element to it. In one side, it was a serious accompaniment to the story. On the other side, it had a lighthearted, I don't know, it had those qualities that I love. I could listen to it not watching the movie, just listen to the soundtrack.
It's kind of revolutionary what
yes,
he was
exactly.
doing.
Yes, exactly. I'm thinking this whole business, it has an influence, like MTV influencing films.
I mean, you could argue that without Morricone, these movies would have died a slow death, and we would have never even had this subgenre of Western.
Yeah.
There was something about the marriage between Leone's vision and Morricone's music that really kind of just exploded these films on the screen. You know, they wouldn't be here. A couple of other movies, if you want to check them out. I have not seen these movies, but they're on my short list because I really would like to muscle up my spaghetti Western knowledge. Death Rides a Horse with Lee Van Cleef is one to be checked out. Lee Van Cleef also turned up in another movie called Sabata.
Oh, yeah.
So you can, you stick with these names, Lee Van Cleef,
yes.
Henry Fonda, Eastwood, Franco Nero. You're gonna whittle it down to the ones you need to see. Then you're on your own.
And if you're an historian, you can go back to 1959. La Scarifa, directed by Roberto Bianchi Montero. And this is a comedy. It's an Italian Western comedy in black and white. So its roots have a kind of lighthearted nature to them. And it's not. And 1964 begins A Fistful of Dollars, as you would say, where it really takes off with Leone.
Now, coming back full circle to Django Unchained.
Yes.
What do you think, what do you make of this controversy, Spike Lee's criticism of Tarantino's revisionist history?
The blaxploitation part? I think it's completely misguided. I think there's nothing but on the part of Tarantino but reverence for all issues, including the racial. And certainly he in his satire, he is exposing something that, and Lincoln takes a much heavier view of slavery.
Yeah.
And naturally, this is going to be an issue with the black population. But I can't see anything but reverence here.
I can't either. And in fact, your eyes are guided more so than Lincoln even, which doesn't really deal head on with slavery at all.
Right.
And even though Tarantino's vision of this world is a little skewed and exaggerated, I think the horrors of slavery come across here in a way that I haven't seen in a major Hollywood movie. I think Spike Lee should be, riding Tarantino's coattails here a little bit. Maybe there's an example to be made of
it. And while Jamie Foxx is not Clint Eastwood, he does a stone face hero in this that's great. But the one who really reveals is Samuel L. Jackson playing the house slave.
Yes.
And if you want to, if he wants to look at where the heart of the racial and slavery issues come, just take a look at that and take a look at the way he runs that.
And Samuel L. Jackson said he knows that his character is going to be the most reviled African-American character in probably all of Hollywood cinema.
Take a chance. Go to Django Unchained. You're going to see it coming up at the Oscars the whole time. And remember, it has roots that are decades old in the spaghetti western.
Roots. Yeah. That was very clever of you.